Full Service Radio is supported by Compass, the future of real estate in the Metro DC area and beyond. Discover more at compass.com.
You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hey, you're listening to Pineapple Radio on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Atara.
And I'm your other host, Arielle. And we are the founders of Pineapple Collaborative, an offline online community for women who love food. And you may ask yourself, what does that even mean? And what that means is we are 60,000 women strong who meet up for in real life events in our three cities, DC, San Francisco, and New York. We hang out online at Pineapple Collaborative, where we're sharing all of the things that inspire us in the world of women and food. And we are also in your inbox. We send out awesome newsletters, and we also share Pine 4 Pantry, which is our editorial series where we peek into the kitchens of women that we admire in the world of food, like Allison Roman, Marissa Ross, Carl Hall, you name it.
And what do you mean when you say Pine 4?
So Pine 4 is our guiding philosophy here at Pineapple, and that is the idea that admiring other women, women-made food products or wines, and women-powered businesses is what creates community. And that's really rooted in two principles that we hold close to our heart. One, which is collaboration over competition. So by actively admiring other women in our industry, as well as at large every day, we're reversing the norm where women are taught to compete with each other. And, you know, getting rid of the idea that one woman's success, you know, undermines our success, when really, you know, you see your girl crushing it, that makes all of our boats rise, as they like to say. And really the second piece to this is celebration of women every day for our triumphs and the work that we're putting out there in the universe. In this era of Me Too, in this era of, you know, celebrating women around International Women's History Month, you know, we see that there's obviously a need to have a conversation about how women are overcoming limitations that prevent us from perhaps succeeding. But our focus here at Pineapple is celebrating the fantastic work that women throughout the food world are doing every single day.
Love it. You got to lift as we climb, as we say. So we have a really great show today. We're going to be talking about wine and wellness, about smelling the rosé. We have Carly Steiner in the house from Himitsu in DC.
Hello.
And we'll be talking to her in a little bit. But before we go into our awesome convo with Carly, I want to talk about some things that Arielle and I pine for. We have this philosophy that our kitchens are just like the best reflection of our style and our identity, even more so than our closets, in my opinion. So each week, Arielle and I talk to each other about the products, women-made products that we pine for and love and are stocking in our kitchens. So with that, Arielle, what have been some of your favorites lately?
On the topic of wine, my pantry pick is Ramona Wine Cooler. It's a beautiful design can that is a modern-day spritz or wine cooler made with organically grown grapes from Italy. Jordan Salcido is the founder of the company. She is the wine director at Momofuku.
Hi, Jordan, if you're listening.
Yeah, and our friend Kate Newhouse, what's up? She's, Jordan's right hand, and they are crushing it. And I love me a Ramona wine cooler, especially as it's getting hot outside and picnics are, you know, what I want to be doing.
Oh, same. It is the most slammable wine ever.
What about you?
I really have been loving this jam coming from Ohio. It's called Prospect Jam Company. They sent us a beautiful package of jams. My favorite was the strawberry and pink peppercorn. It's a business owned by a woman named Emily Hutton, and their entire philosophy on jam is really cool. They make like classic French style jam in a beautiful collage, like copper jar. It's just beautiful. Check them out, please.
Awesome. Well, speaking of beautiful, we have some beautiful wines in the house right now.
That we're drinking on air.
That we're drinking on air with Carly. Compliments to Carly for hooking us up with her favorite bottles, which we'll talk about more as the show gets into things. But without further ado, would really love to introduce Carly Steiner. So hello again.
Hello again.
And you know, today we're talking about one of our favorite subjects, really, natural wine and the experience around it. I think when we, you know, are calling this episode Smelling the Rosé or Smelling the Rosés.
I love that, by the way.
Totally, you know, cliche, maybe a little bit eye-rolly.
It's perfect.
But what that represents for us is, like, there's an experience around wine that we want to have, which is fun, playful.
Approachability.
Full of approachability and discovery, and like having the opportunity to sit down with our friends and our, you know, respected colleagues in the field and just like talk about wine in a diverse way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think talking about it in an approachable way, and also just remembering that the first rule of drinking wine is that you're supposed to have fun, and I think sometimes we forget that. Mm-hmm. And so today we're gonna have some fun.
Yay.
Because I brought some really fun wines and you brought some really fun snacks, and we're gonna just try to match them up on air.
Awesome. Totally. Yes. So we're gonna have a conversation with Carly first, and then at the end of the show we are going to pair some beautiful wines with some snacks you might find lying around the house, which is my favorite way to enjoy wine personally.
And just to provide a little bit more background on Carly, she is the co-owner and beverage director at Himitsu, which is an offbeat and whimsical Japanese-inspired restaurant with an inspired wine and spirits menu. And Carly's genius, you know, we got to know her many years ago through her work, you know, at other bars in the DC restaurant scene. And, you know, she's had her own pop-up spirits bar company. I mean, you can fill us in when we get into your journey, but really Carly's been doing so much in the wine, food, spirits world for many years now. And to see her Himitsu concept come to life with her, you know, co-owner is just fantastic. Atara and I went there for dinner, actually, on Saturday night, sat at the bar.
It was fun.
It was beautiful. Drank lots of natural wines. Had your rosé mule, which was next level. It's like a Moscow mule, but rosé.
Exactly.
Pink peppercorns. Is that right?
Oh, that's the maspas. Oh, yeah. But that's good. Also delicious.
Yeah.
And you know, she's got a lot of thoughts on wine, wellness, creativity, and style. And so we're going to dig into that throughout this convo.
So yeah, for our first question for you, Carly, we're going to talk a little bit about what brought you here. Could you please introduce yourself again and tell us a little bit about what brought you here, what got you interested in wine and beautiful food?
Absolutely. So I actually started so young. I've been doing this. I've never done anything else outside of the industry. And I think I started when I was about 12. I was working for my mother's friend's restaurant in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And I bounced around from front of house to back of house for a couple of years before deciding, you know what, I want to be a chef. I'm going to go to culinary school. And my dad said, are you sure you don't want to go to UVA? And I said, I'm positive. And he's like, okay, you're paying for it. And I was like, okay, fine. That's perfectly fair. And I ended up getting accepted. And I remember the day he dropped me off, he was like, this is really what you want to do, isn't it? I was like, yes. He was like, I'm going to help you. And that was one of the most touching. That's when I knew, I'm like, I'm making the right decision, not just because my dad's my best friend. So it was very touching for me, for him to really fully see me thrive in what I'm doing. And the funny story, though, is that after 4 years of culinary training, I accepted a job at Bar Mini by Jose Andres, which I started the day after I graduated as a bartender. So I made a little bit of a leap into front of house. And I remember thinking when I applied for that job, there's no way I'm going to get this job. I'm just going to throw it out there, though, and see what the universe gives me. And and it gave me a job there. And I learned so much there. And after 2 years, I was like, you know what? Somebody else needs to take this opportunity. I wanted to like give that opportunity to somebody else who needed it more than I did at that point. And so I was, I'm leaving. I don't want to leave, but I'm leaving. I traveled a bit around, you know, so I sold all my things in DC, traveled for a bit. I came back and I realized that I didn't want to work for anybody. So I started a bit of a bartending company where we did a bunch of different things. And I did that with a co-owner, ran that for I would say about a year, year and a half or so, got out of that and I think I traveled again. I can't remember anymore. It's all a blur. And and then Kevin and I met up and we decided to open up Himitsu. So it hasn't been a long journey, because I know I say that with the privilege of youthfulness, but it has been a long journey for myself, at least. And now Himitsu is going to come up on its 2 years, and that just gave me chills. Oh my gosh, that just gave me actual chills. That's crazy. It's crazy that we made it, because statistically, you know, most restaurants fail in the first year and the second year. So this is a big deal for us.
Cheers to that.
Cheers. Yeah, let's.
Speaking of cheers, which, what are we drinking right now on the air?
Right now we're drinking Sprockets by Teutonic Wine Company. This is a very fun wine. The base grape varietal is Pinot Noir, but it's not extracted with the skins. So it's like the opposite of skin contact. It's so fun because it's typically a red wine made with red grapes, you know. And if you taste it, you can definitely tell it's super bright and alive and spritzy. And we'll talk about it more when we pair it later. So.
And for everyone who's listening, this does not look like a red wine. It literally looks like a white wine. Mm-hmm. And it's delicious.
Oh, and it is a white wine.
It's it's just made from caramelized is something I'm tasting.
There's a little bit of residual sugar to match that acidity for sure. You know, you got to balance it out.
Cool.
Love it. So when did you become interested? You talk about, you know, your rise from mini bar to having your own bartending company and eventually opening up Himitsu. But as we chatted about, you know, over lunch yesterday, we got to hang out a lot this week, which is fantastic. Your interest in wine has been growing by the day. And so, you know, what do you love most about the world of wine?
So many things. God, I love that wine brings people together. And you can say that about a lot of things, but you have to find your thing that you enjoy that brings people together, right? And I think that a bottle of wine is just one of the most wonderful, shareable items that we can obtain as human beings and enjoy together. And it's something that leads to conversation from an intellectual perspective. It's something that often allows you, of course, to lower your inhibitions a bit, right? When you share a bottle of wine and you're a little drunk, that's great. It's beautiful because it really opens you up to different conversations that you might not have if you're slightly uncomfortable with them. And I think that that's like where we've lost. I mean, that's the beauty of alcohol and wine, you know, and fermented things. It's just, it's wonderful. And I think that we can use wine as a vessel to rise. I mean, bringing it back to women, there's so many badass female winemakers right now, and we can use our education on wine to help those people rise up with us. We can take them along, or they can take us along. And I mean, that's incredible.
Totally. That's something we at Pineapple have been loving, is how many women are involved throughout the wine industry, winemakers, you know, wine distributors, even sales folks on the ground who have the knowledge about the winemakers, and, you know, they're so knowledgeable. And then of course, you know, folks who are in beverage programs in restaurants or, wine shops, and, you know, we're making friends through picking bottles of wine at
exactly,
a restaurant,
yeah,
on a menu, or, you know, walking into a wine shop. So, and I think what you touch on is the experience around wine. And, you know, to the flip side of the joy of wine, there's also, you know, traditionally, I think, or people turn to wine when they're not feeling great. You know, there's certainly the celebration and bringing wine around a table for joyous occasions. But people drink wine because they're sad, or they need something to pick them up.
Or they had a hard day. for their stress.
Absolutely. You know, and I think without getting into too much of like a serious conversation on the effects of alcohol, right? I think just talking about, just like with anything else, bringing up the conversations of the reality of the situation is what's going to drop the taboos of drinking too much and of overindulging, right? And that's why I love to say the word share whenever I talk about alcohol. I love using the word share because I think it really puts a very stable position as we're not drinking. It's wine is something that, you know, you don't necessarily sit in your house and drink alone. You can, of course, but it's like I love using the fact that it is so shareable. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the beauty of a bottle of wine.
Totally. So, you know, Marissa Ross, who's the Bon Appetit wine editor who we featured on radio about a month ago. Actually, just kidding. 3 months ago. That was March.
What is time?
What is time?
Feels just like yesterday, Marissa, that you were here in D.C. with us.
It does actually feel very recent. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to have a nice little soiree that the Arakes Progress team, which is the restaurant here at the Line Hotel, hosted for Marissa's first visit to D.C., as well as the incredible food and beverage community that we have here in D.C. It was good times, right, Carly?
It was an incredible time. That was one of the best events, actually.
Awesome.
Ever.
Thank you, Line team. but back to the point, which is, you know, last week was a really, you know, hard week for a lot of people in the food and beverage community and just at large, you know, with the suicide of Anthony Bourdain and brought to light a lot of mental health issues that mm-hmm. people, you know, not only in our industry in the food and beverage world, but across our country face and the toll it takes. And, you know, one thing Marissa always says is, or she always gets the question, what wine should you drink when you're sad? And her answer is none. Mm-hmm. There's no wine you should drink when you're sad. So hoping that we can dive into this because it's something we chatted about yesterday, which is, you know, you have really found kind of self-care and wellness, like in your experience as a restaurant owner, you know, beverage director.
Mm-hmm. Which has been a journey. That's not something that came naturally because of societal norms, which I also think we might have touched on a bit.
So I'm hoping you can share a little bit more on that, you know, wellness journey. How did you get to where you are today? And how does that apply to like thinking about when we're drinking wine or otherwise?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think when you look at our world right now, social media gives us an outlet. I mean, we can talk negatively about it, but you can also look at the positive benefits of social media and bringing awareness to a lot of things that we might not have been awareness. Suicide has been happening always. Mental wellness has not been, is more of a conversation now because we have an ability to connect to people that we might not have had the ability to connect to otherwise, right? Because before social media, you were able, like we would talk because we live near each other, we're in the same city, but maybe we don't deal with the same issues. And so what I think is a huge part of that is the stretching of the world and being able to connect to people that you're like, oh, that's the exact same issue that I'm dealing with. And you're able to see it on such a larger scale now. And you're able to see that you're not alone. And I think that was a huge part. When I was growing up in the industry and I felt I only saw what I was able to see right around me, which was everybody was working 60 to 90 hours a week. And so I said, I have to work that much as well. A lot of people, and I remember being very young noticing this, probably like 15, 16 years old, the people around me, most of them, of course, much, much older. They weren't happy. You know, there was so much unhappiness that I saw in adults when I was younger, specifically regarding my industry. And I think when you are surrounded by that, you start to feel like this is the path that I'm going on. Mm-hmm. And I knew I didn't want to get out of the industry, but I think always inherently I knew also that I didn't want to be like that. Mm-hmm. So while that's in the back of my head, I'm still growing up and I'm kind of falling into these habits. I'm falling into these trends. And I can self-admit, I mean, it is hard to say this, but I think when I was 21, I probably 21, 22, I'd say I probably had an alcohol problem. I mean, you're young, and so everybody tells you, it's fine, you're young, just keep partying. There's nothing wrong with being young and being hungover all the time. And I think that that kind of messed me up for maybe two more years after that, thinking that it's okay, I'm young. And I'm like, it's not okay. It's actually, I mean, I could have dealt with things in such a healthier manner, like I'm doing now. And I still sometimes have to stop myself and realize how much I do partake in drinking, how much I do unhealthy habits because of, it's really alcohol, but it's just because it's so ingrained in our society to do that. You're working so much and you're so stressed and you have to deal with, you know, specifically, like, I'm going to talk about front of house right now. You're dealing with other people's emotions all day. And at the end of the day, you think, oh my God, I just want to deal with my emotions. And a lot of us turn to alcohol. And what I've really been working on in the past couple of years is turning to healthier habits. So recognizing that, yes, this is a stressful industry. So let's do yoga. Let's go on a run. Like, let's do something. Even if it's like, it's meditating, even if it's just, and it can be drinking, but saying, okay, I'm going to go out with my friend and I'm going to have a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. And there's an inside joke. And maybe this is outside of the industry too, but where you say, like, I'm just going for one, and everybody around you will laugh, because they know it's not true. Mm-hmm. And like, that stigma has to stop. We have to be able to go out for one glass of wine. We have to have, you know, like, one cocktail and stick to that. And I think that if we're going to, you know, on the subject of women, like, let's hold each other accountable for that. Let's not be afraid to be like the nagging friend.
Right.
And I think because I've surrounded myself. So going back to your question directly, what are the, like, let's talk about the influences that have led me to a healthier lifestyle. Having friends outside of the industry, that has been huge. Hmm. And recognizing, I'm like, oh my God, these people don't live the same lives, you know? And finding that balance of somewhere, because I know I could never fully go into that life either, but just finding that balance for me where I fit, that work-life balance, has been huge. Fitting in, you know, I used to, I remember the difference, huge difference. I used to sleep until, you know, when I was like 21, 22, I'd probably sleep in until 2 p.m. I mean, it's ridiculous now that I'm saying this out loud.
You also work late.
And then
late,
I would go,
but
sure, I'd go to work. I would get off around, let's say, 1 a.m. I would go out until 3 a.m. and I'd go home and I wouldn't be able to sleep till 4 a.m. So, of course, I'm sleeping in until 2, but that's not necessarily healthy, right? When you're doing it every single day. Now I wake up at 7:30. It's amazing. I make some breakfast sometimes. I go to yoga sometimes. Nothing that I do, you know, I think also there's a lot of women, and I want to just like say this. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have changed completely and that I go to yoga religiously every day. Like, no, you... Let's be real about it. Let's be honest about it. Sometimes I make these great choices, but sometimes is better than never. Mm-hmm. And the more that I make them, the more I want to make them. And the more that I have friends of different avenues, the more I see different lifestyles, and the more that I do connect in a healthy way to social media, I'm able to see other people going through similar situations. And also just having your tribe. That has been huge. Having like one or a couple best friends that you can actually confide in and you can say, I'm not okay, I need help. And having those people help you has been huge. I mean, these are all really things that I'm like, God, this is like, I am so lucky to have these things now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that reflection is really inspiring. And our hope is that everyone can be on this path towards feeling better all the time and really understanding their own wellness perspective. I think one thing too that we've all kind of been reflecting on since Anthony Bourdain is, you know, having your tribe is so important, and being able to tell someone when you're not feeling good is important, but also like recognizing when someone in your tribe is not doing well, even when they don't reach out to you, is super important.
And keep reaching out.
Yeah.
Even when they say, I'm just tired, even when they say, when they don't respond, that's a huge thing that people get into the habit of. You know, you're like, well, they're just, they stopped responding, so I'm going to stop asking them. No,
right.
Keep asking them. Persist, show up at their house. Like, be a little weird about it. It's okay. It's your person. It's your people, you know?
Right. Well, we certainly have, you know, had our own wellness journey at Pineapple HQ. Sometimes Arielle and I take the morning off and do yoga and make breakfast and spend time with our significant others. Novel idea, but it is so important. It makes us better humans. It makes us better at our job. It makes us better friends.
To enjoy the journey, sometimes you need to set healthy boundaries for yourself and check in.
And drink more water. Totally unrelated, but so related.
I love that, yes.
No, honestly, everybody who is listening, I don't care how much water you're drinking, drink more water. That that's like probably a huge... I didn't realize how... I actually went to the doctor a couple months ago, and I'm like, I just feel sick. I don't know what's wrong with me. They're like, you're depressed. I'm like, I'm not. I know when I am. I'm not. And they're like, "What? You know, tell me about your life." And I'm like, well, I drink a lot of coffee in the morning, and then I, you know, go through my day. I drink a glass of wine at night. Like, so are you drinking
water?
So
no water?
And I'm like, well, wait, what? There's water in coffee, right? There's water in wine, right? Like, you're actually not drinking water. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not drinking water.
It's back to basics with wellness sometimes.
It's back to
basics.
No, it is though.
Water, you know,
sleep.
you're feeling anxious. I mean, sleep, but also we had a wellness realness event in DC last week, and people's number one, you know, our STEAM panel's number one wellness recommendations were like, hey, you're feeling down. You know, you don't need to drink a latte with adaptogens, like call a friend. Or you're feeling down, listen to your favorite song. You're feeling down, like go for a walk, look at a tree.
Lie on the floor.
Lie on a cold
floor. Glass of water.
Drink some water. Water's helped with my anxiety. I know that we're talking about a basic necessity, but and it's silly, but honestly, we forget sometimes, and especially like in this age when there's so much to think about.
Yeah.
You just forget about the simple things.
Yeah. Well, we are talking to Carly Steiner of Himitsu about wine, wellness, and the wine experience. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
And the song is called Bring a Little Love. It's by Kido, K-I-E-D-O. Very apropos. And we'll be right back on Pineapple Radio. Service Radio is supported by Compass. Discover Compass, America's first modern real estate company. By pairing the industry's top agents with technology, Compass delivers an incomparable client experience from the first-time buyer to the seasoned seller. Visit them today in DC, Maryland, and Virginia, or navigate compass.com day or night.
Hey there, you're listening to Pineapple Radio on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Got some construction in the background, but we're here today in the studio We're here in the studio today with Carly Steiner, who's the co-owner and beverage director of the D.C. restaurant Himitsu, talking about wine. Our episode is called Smell the Rosés because for us, it's about experiencing wine in the present in fun ways that bring us joy. And that's exactly what we're going to dive into right now for this portion of our show is a wine tasting and pairing with fun snacks that you may have lying around the house. So we're not talking about a beautifully chef prepared dinner. We're just talking about like Pringles and gummy bears and more. Before I get into that though, I do want to share some exciting news on the natural wine front in Washington, D.C. The first natural wine fair in D.C. is happening on June 30th. It's a Saturday. It's called Laissez-Faire. Pineapple is one of the co-hosts, and alongside No Kings Collective and Please Bring Chips, we're bringing together the region's best natural wine growers, as well as wine growers and makers, as well as, you know, the distributors who are making natural wine happen in DC. And so come out. It's a great opportunity to try lots of different natural wines, learn about them in community. It's in this gorgeous art gallery pop-up called Congruent. And everyone's going to be there, including me and Atara.
All your friends, yeah. Cool. So as we set up this tasting, one thing to note is, like Ariel said, our whole theory about wine drinking is that you don't need to be at like a super fancy prefix menu dinner to experience a beautiful bottle of wine. So we brought some snacks that were literally just like lying around our kitchens. And we're going to ask Carly which wines she would pair with each of them. So I'm just first going to tell you the lineup of snacks. We've got all the way on the left, we've got pizza Pringles coming at ya. We've got some salty corn nuts. We have wasabi seaweed, roasted seaweed snacks, which I love. We have some, they're so good. We have some sour gummy bears. And then we have shrimp chips, which smell delicious, actually.
They actually do. The first pop was a little aggressive, but like not in a bad way, just aggressive, you know?
All right, cool. So Carly, let's start with Pringles. And I think also, in addition to just telling us which wines pair with them, Carly's also going to tell us a little bit about the wine. You know, you don't need to be a sommelier to be able to taste wine and enjoy it.
No, let's talk about it in the way that I would talk about. I'm going to talk about it how I talk about it with my friends.
Yes.
This is like that we're just going to talk about flavors and tastes and
cool.
Yumminess. Okay, so you want to start here or do you want to start there? You want to start here?
Let's start with gummy bears, actually.
Let's start with gummy bears. I think that's fine. Yeah. Okay, this is the wine in our glass. So we are, so this is some Haribo sour gummy bears, which, by the way, is my favorite brand of gummy bears. So good.
I'm a sour patch kid.
I know,
person,
me too. Me too. I just love sour candies. And what I'm gonna pull out the bottle of, let's pull out the bottle of Sprockets by Teutonic Wine Company. So this is a super zippy, this is what we were talking about earlier, the first wine that I had poured at the beginning. It's a very zippy wine. And I'm just using the word zippy because it's playful and high acid, and there's a little bit of residual sugar to it, which is going to be really yummy with these sour candies.
Cool.
You want to give it a shot?
Yeah, let's dive in.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I dig that.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you tasting?
Very chewy.
So chewy.
Yeah, tell us a little bit
about the
wine.
There's a little bit of honeysuckle going on in the wine, if you pick that up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Of like orange blossomy.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's good.
And it's sour, and you're kind of matching the sweet and the sour. It's a bit of like an equalized pairing there.
It's especially good with the lemon gummy bear.
Oh,
like that was
nice.
a good pairing specifically.
There's a lot of lemon, lemony, limey flavors in the wine too. Yeah. So I could see that working really well.
So this
well.
Is the
I didn't
Pinot.
Get a lemon one though.
Bummer.
This is the Pinot Noir grape.
There's two other grapes that are just indigenous, and then Pinot Noir is the main one. So that's the one that's important. And again, this is, we're saying Pinot Noir, and I just want to like make sure everybody knows, since you can't see us or the wine, it's a white wine. So they just extract the juice and they don't let it sit on the skins.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's pretty unique for a Pinot.
Yeah. How'd you like that? That was pretty tasty.
I
would eat that.
Really
that's
good.
Honestly, like, I kind of just want to bring that bottle to the movie theater. Mm-hmm. Get some Sour Patch Kids.
There you go.
Dude, yeah. Because I
that.
Could also eat that with popcorn.
Mm.
You know,
can we just touch on quickly indigenous grapes, because I do think that's important, while it might not be per se to this bottle, but the concept
just in general. Yeah, right. Grapes from a particular area that are used in that area, and it's just, it's kind of the concept of like grow what you can.
Right, because Pinot Noir is a noble grape, right?
Yeah.
And so that means that, I mean, I'm not a wine profesh here, but the way I basically understand that is, you know, it's a grape from France that has kind of a certain classification around it. It's,
and that one I should specify is not indigenous in this wine, because this wine is not, this wine is from California.
Right, right. And so, you know, but yeah, for many decades, you know, these noble grapes were considered the best grapes, like Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon, like the ones that everyone's heard of. And so all across the world where you can grow grapes for wine, you know, they were essentially exporting these noble grapes because consumers considered them better than indigenous grapes. But with the interest in natural wine, what we're seeing is that indigenous grapes are making a comeback, mm-hmm. and that luckily some vintners across the world have preserved, you know, these indigenous varietals, and they're now coming back into wines because consumers want something interesting, different, incredibly reflective of the terroir, not just Pinot Noir grown in California, but like, what's that grape that you can only get in California?
And I so urge you to, for the listeners, please step out of your comfort zone when it comes to wine. Just drink things that you have never heard of, and you will be shocked by how delicious they are, you know? Mm-hmm. And by the way, generally more affordable.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorite things to do to go to restaurants, especially ones like Himitsu, which, you know you're in good hands no matter what, is, you know, order the wine where you have no idea what the grape is, or you've never tried a wine from, you know, Georgia or New Zealand before, or a certain part of California. It's like, go for the unknown.
Exactly. Or let your server choose. Is another really...
That is a big one for me.
If you are anywhere that you feel comfortable to do that, I mean, I do that everywhere I go. Even Pizza Hut. I'm like, you choose. Yeah, that's yours.
Awesome. I love that rule. And yeah, it's a good way to get information from someone you trust. Okay, cool. We're going to move on to the next snack. We've got shrimp chips.
Boom, boom, boom.
They're baked shrimp-flavored chips. They look kind of like cheese doodles.
They don't smell like them.
So we're going to have a shrimp chip. They're salty. Tastes like shrimp.
And tastes like chips.
What's the wine we're pairing
with
it?
This is actually one of my favorite producers, Cambridge Road, out of New Zealand. And I'm pouring Down the Rabbit Hole is the name of the wine. It's a Sauvignon Blanc with skin contact. And this is my favorite. So as... I will just say this. So there's orange wine, there's amber wine, there's skin contact wine. Sometimes they mean a little bit different things, but overarching rule is that there is skin contact during the fermentation process, much like you would produce a red wine, but these are generally white wine grapes.
Wow. And
isn't that so crazy?
For everyone that's listening, the color on this wine is beautiful. It's like super cloudy. There's lots of sediment. It's
unfiltered wine. Unrefined. Yep.
And it also kind of tastes a little bit like the shrimp chips.
I know.
Like, that was actually really brilliant. Yeah.
So it's a little bit of that. I mean, the shrimp chips are delicious, but you get that little funkiness out of them, you know, and this wine definitely has that kind of cider-esque, funky, slightly almost oxidized aromas. But it's also based, it's very fruit forward. There's definitely some minerality, but it's super fruit forward. It has a lot of that like passion fruit. There's a lot of grapefruit. There's a lot of these flavors that would be delicious, by the way, with shrimp.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little metallic tasting. It's really interesting.
There's a little phenolic bitterness on it, which is kind of like describing the tannins of a white wine, which you wouldn't normally talk about because there's no skin contact, right?
Right. Interesting. And this is a Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, more of a amber color, so not what you typically think of, and that's really the skin contact element.
That's where those skins are not only imparting that little bit of that end-all bitterness, which I love, but you're getting the different aromas, different flavors, and then of course a bit of golden hue color from the skins.
Mm-hmm. What other foods could you pair this with? I don't know if many people eat shrimp chips on the reg.
Yeah, shrimp chips was, I was surprised you had that in your house, but I'm also not surprised. So so with this wine, I would say you can do, I actually love, we have a fried chicken dish at Himitsu that this is delicious with, because it holds up a lot of those kind of maybe more intense flavors that you want to start pairing red wines with, but maybe not quite, or maybe you just want to try something different. That's where skin contact kind of comes into play for me a lot. And I think that because you can use that weightiness of them, that little bit of extra oomph that they get, and that bit of phenolic bitterness that they provide to cut through a lot of the same things that you would generally cut through with tannins in red wines. Mm-hmm. And they hold a lot of acidity generally. I mean, a Sauvignon Blanc specifically, it has tons of natural acidity. So that's something you can also cut through a lot of fat with, which I love.
Yeah, this is
I love high acid.
My favorite thus far.
And so on the bottle, I mean, one thing that at restaurants I like to do when I order a glass of wine is I love when I actually get to see the bottle, you know, not to like double check that they're pouring me the right wine, but so that I can look at the label, see how it's marketed.
That's a local artist from his village, actually.
Cool. So there's this rabbit on cartoon illustration on the cover of this, or on the front of this bottle. It's called Down the Rabbit Hole. And, you know, if you turn it to its side or the back, you can also see, you know, any information that the winemaker likes to share. On here it says Sauvignon Blanc, eco-farmed living wine. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no standard for, like, what natural wine is. So people will write, you know, organic or biodynamic or eco-farmed living wine or hand-harvested.
Yeah. It makes you kind of think more like it's a kombucha
than
a wine, which he has this other wine that is kind of a kombucha, and I'm obsessed with it.
And it says contains sulfites in parentheses naturally occurring, which is, I think, a big distinction for many natural wines.
Yeah, so there's no added sulfites in, I believe, all of his wines, because I think this one as well. Yeah, I want to say it's all of his wines do not contain added sulfites. And actually, if you look at the menu at Himitsu, I would say 90%. Of course, we always have a few like classic styles that people just love and are wonderful, and they're going to contain sulfites. But 90% of what we do is no added sulfites. I would hold that same percentage to, I mean, I know natural wine is such a, it's a term that we use a lot and it doesn't always mean anything, but that's, I do look more so for the words biodynamic. Sometimes, I mean, organic is great as well, but biodynamic is where it's, that's the future. That's how we're going to keep living a really long time on this planet.
Right. And so a little refresher quickly on what is a biodynamic produced wine.
Yeah. So in organic agriculture, you can still use organic pesticides, right? So you're still using chemicals a lot of times. Biodynamic is really using the land to produce agriculture. So for example, you might release a certain type of bug to exterminate another kind of bug that's actually harmful to plants. There's also, I mean, they follow the lunar cycle. There's also a lot of things that are, that go beyond just agriculture and are more spiritual. But when you look at the agriculture, it's really using zero pesticides.
Yeah, it's a really interesting farming practice that's used in other forms of agriculture beyond viticulture.
Oh, yeah. Not just wine. Yep.
Right.
But it's proving that wine is an agricultural product and it comes from the earth. We should treat it as such.
Exactly.
If you, this is what Marissa Ross also said, which I loved. If you care about your kale, you should care about your wine too.
Mm-hmm. And the last thing on the bottle that I just want to note, because I think for consumers it's helpful when you're in a wine shop or checking out the bottle that you ordered at a restaurant, is look for the name of the distributor, because what you'll find is like, you know, this is a Williams Corner wine here. And Williams Corner wine is one of the distributors that, you know, distributes most of the natural wine in the DC area. There's also, you know, 10th Harvest and Native Selections and others. But, you know, when you're at a wine shop and you are deciding between two bottles, or, you know, and you remember the name of the distributor from the last wine that you liked, there's a good chance you might like the wine of the same distributor. And you don't have to know anything else, just that that distributor also has it in their portfolio. So I think it's another great guidepost.
It's a good tip.
Totally.
All right, on to our next snack. This is one of my favorites. My husband will attest to this.
This is also one of my favorite snacks. Oh, I love this snack.
So good. It's a roasted seaweed, and it's the wasabi flavor, so it's a little spicy. What are we pairing this with,
So Carly? This is really fun. I can't believe I had this wine with me today, because this is probably going to be my favorite pairing today. So this is actually the same producer, Cambridge Road. This is called the Supernatural, and it's another Sauvignon Blanc. It does not have skin contact. So it's just a, but I think I also have this, I don't know, I think that producers that do a lot of skin contact wines tend to just think esoterically when they're producing wine. So when you taste this, it's different than a lot of Sauvignon Blancs that we drink, which I would argue kind of go more in that grapefruit, green grass direction. And this is going to be so very green and vegetal. And I love using colors to describe, maybe this is how my mind works, and it's maybe it's not relatable as I think it is, but I love using colors to describe flavors and aromas. Mm-hmm. Because maybe it just makes sense to me, but it's very green, it's very vegetal, it's very herbaceous. There's a lot of...
I consider my, this is Ariel here, I consider myself a very, having a great palate, and I eat most foods. Wasabi, though I like spicy, kills me every time.
I love it.
By the way, this is so good together.
I'm so excited. Eating the seaweed.
So the wine itself, when I use the word vegetal, I want to be more descriptive. It is like a ripe jalapeno.
Yes.
It is green pepper. And I want to say without the capsaicin, without the spiciness, but you can't taste a jalapeno without, if you're somebody who eats a lot of jalapenos, your mind is immediately going to make you think that there's a spiciness to it in a sense. Does that make sense? Like there's a
totally.
Little, yeah, there's a little like roasted pineapple in the back of this wine, but it's really just super vegetal forward. I love
delicious.
This wine
That's
so much.
That's a brilliant, brilliant wine.
Like this together. I might just keep going on this train here.
Yeah, go for it. All right, let's go on to the next one. And for the audience, by the way, we will be releasing all of this information after the show. So you'll be able to reference back and figure out which wines pair well with gummy bears after the show.
Right. On our website, pineapplecollaborative.com/radio, that's where the info will go down. And if you're enjoying this kind of tasting pairing, you know, we'll be doing this at Laissez-Faire, the natural wine fair on June 30th.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so this next wine, this is the only wine that I'm really going to just take a little time for because this wine, this is Baia's wine, and it is produced. The winemaker is a 25-year-old woman. She's been doing this for, I believe, over 3 years. So she started when she was 21, maybe 22. And I think that that is, can we just like take a moment to realize how incredible that is?
Let's revel in that.
Like, I want to revel in that. Again, goosebumps.
Hashtag pine for.
I pine for Baia. Oh my God. Baia, are you listening in Georgia? She's incredible. So she's out of Emeritty in West Georgia, the country, not the state.
Yes.
And West Georgia is a land that has been making wine, but they suffered under communism, and so there hasn't been a lot of wine being exported or even being made, to be honest. And what is so cool is that Baia is bringing it back. She's using her youth, she's using her energy and her willpower to bring this back and to make this a wine region again. She uses all, we'll talk about indigenous grape varietals. They're all naturally high acid because they're actually, they used to be used for about 100 years. They were used to make sparkling wine. And so they're naturally high acid, which is so great for the American palate. And this is something that is just, it's such a good export. It's very humid in this area. And so that's why these grapes are really adaptable. And I think that, oh, I'm so excited. Okay. So what are we pairing this
yeah,
with?
Yeah, what are we pairing this with?
So I think that what's really fun about these wines, so this is a skin contact wine, of course, but it's an amber wine. It's a wine that's made in amphora, which is just like this big concrete vat, sometimes buried underground, sometimes not.
And it's clay, right?
It's clay. Mm-hmm. Or did I say concrete?
Yeah.
Clay, thank you. It's a big clay vat. And what is super cool is that it's slightly oxidized as well. So immediately, I just want you to smell it, and you'll notice this like oxidative quality. And the best, my number one flavor profile or aroma that I get from oxidized wines is like nuts in different forms. Sometimes almonds.
Cool.
Sometimes pistachios. Sometimes walnuts. Depends on the level of oxidation, right? So we're going to pair
corn nuts. Just took a sip before the corn nuts. It's like very, very acidic.
Mm-hmm.
In the most exciting and delicious way.
When your mouth waters, you start like...
Yeah.
I hate this word, but when you start like leaking, that little like, you know, that's yes. actually how you define, I mean, that's when you know it's a high acid wine.
Yeah, that's like at the back of your mouth.
It's underneath yeah. right here, yeah.
Underneath yeah. your bottom like teeth.
They just shoot, yeah.
yeah. All right, cool. So what snack are we pairing this with?
So we're going to pair this with these salty corn nuts.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Another.
That are roasted, so you get that same like, that like deepness and oxidized.
Awesome. Here, this is another.
I haven't. I'm sorry. I'm keeping them all for
Bernstein
myself.
Tara Bernstein classic.
And you know, this is something we care a lot about at Pineapple, which is women-made wines and wines made differently than traditional winemaking methods. And so the fact that like you, Carly, can describe that who's behind Baia to your customers, you know, when they come to Himitsu, that's really important. And having those conversations, because you as a consumer should feel totally empowered to ask your bartender, your waiter, your waitress, hey, tell me about this wine, you know, or you could ask like, do you have any women made wines on your menu?
Always ask that question. Yes, I love that question.
Yeah, awesome. We do too. And sometimes people welcome us like at Himitsu and are down to get into it. Other times people give us like dirty looks or have no idea. And I think it's partially on the consumer to help change the paradigm, right? Where we can, you know, go somewhere and say, hey, do you have low intervention wines? Or do you have women made wines? Or like, what's the, you know, coolest, most interesting wine on your list? These are all questions that are totally okay to ask. And even if you get weird looks from the receiving end, like that's not about you, that's about them.
But most of the time,
I love that. When I think that is just, yeah. I want to keep that thought for a lot of different things in the world.
I love it.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And most of the time people are like, you know, you ask the question and maybe your server doesn't know the answer, but he's like, or she is like, I'm going to get you the person to answer this question because there's someone on our staff that's obsessed with natural wine and is obsessed with women made wine. And it's like you said, it's changing the paradigm.
And better yet, you might actually inspire someone.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not going to go ask somebody. Maybe they're going to go do some research. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, like, I love admitting this, I have been asked many questions that I don't know the answers to, and it has inspired me to look it up so that the next time somebody asks me, I can bore them. Yeah. I can just go on and on about it.
All right, awesome. We got one last more. Pairing. We've got Pringles in the house, and not just any Pringles. These are pizza-flavored Pringles. I haven't had this probably since I was 12. So, Carly, right, which wine are we pairing with this?
Pairing. This is a really interesting wine as well. So I just pulled this out. Sorry, this is going to be, I don't know if this is going to work. It's going to work, though. So this is a wine that I would drink with pizza.
Ah, so this was creative. I like it.
So I'm just thinking pizza chips are going to definitely work also. Here, let's pass this around real quick. So this is 100% Mourvèdre. Super weird. That's a blending grape. It's not typically seen as a 100% varietal. And it is just smoky, smoky raspberry. It is so good. It's so good. Just get in that for a second.
All right, here it goes. Here comes wine. Once, first or Pringle first?
I'm not going to lie. It kind of smells like pizza. So
yeah,
this should work really well.
Oh, whoa. That is delicious. They blend together so well.
That's my favorite pairing.
That's my favorite pairing.
Officially.
Yep. Same.
The wine is super smoky and fruity at the same time.
It's like really, it's a smoked raspberry. That's it.
Yummy.
I love that. So tell us about like tomato too in the wine.
Totally.
Like vine ripened tomato.
It makes like a red sauce come alive, right?
It does make a red sauce. Like I would also, this is like something fun to touch on. I was about to say, I would pour this in a tomato sauce. And then I realized when I said that, people would be like, but don't you pour cheap wines in sauces? And I have to say this, why would you pour bad wine into something that's only going to reduce and enhance the bad wine flavors? This is
good
something
point.
That I have thought about for years. Could write a whole book on it.
Word.
Yeah. Only pour good wine in things.
Right. It's like just like your vegetables. Like you're not going to put like shitty kale in the rest of your dish that right. is well sourced and beautifully exactly. flavorful.
Exactly.
And this is a winery out of California, Santa Ynez
Santa
Valley.
Santa Ynez, right, yeah.
Anything else for us to know about this bad boy?
I mean, it's. I want to say this is also biodynamically produced. Does it? You have the wine over there if you want to double check, but it's definitely a low sulfite wine, which is lovely. And I'm like 95% it's biodynamic. I just was hanging out with the winemaker and we drank a little bit too much of the Railsback Freres and I forgot to ask that question, which mm-hmm. is okay. I'm okay with that because it was yeah. a great night. But I serve this wine. I mean, this is another wine that I serve at Himitsu because it is one of those, it's like this low bodied, it's incredibly complex, but you can drink it on a hot patio and feel really good about that.
It's not heavy.
No, it's a light, it's like a lighter bodied, I'd say yeah. it's like medium bodied. It's like a light to medium bodied red. And we serve it just like this. You're drinking it with a bit of a chill on it.
Mm. It's very enjoyable.
Which I think it is, yeah. I think you could actually take this into the fall by just removing it from the fridge,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. and letting some of those like deeper aromas come out and deeper flavor profiles come out because obviously when things warm up, you get a little bit more out of it. But I enjoy this in the summer chilled.
Totally. I love chilling lighter red wines.
Oh, God, it's so good.
I mean, it's not quite rosé, but you know, you get a whole different experience that is also worthy of your patio sunshine drinking mm-hmm. When it's hot outside. And just to, you know, we're pairing these with snacks because it's fun and we've got a super professional in the house who's dropping knowledge, but it's totally cool to like pick up bottles of wine that are interesting to you at a wine shop and bring them home and eat them with whatever you're eating for that night. And just like ask yourself, you know, what does it taste like when you pair it? You know, do you like it? Like, do you want to try something different next time? Because you don't have to like, one thing that I've always disliked about wine and food pairings is like, how am I supposed to know when I, you know, I've got whatever I have
do
in my fridge
like
and,
that's
you know, wine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only question you should be asking yourself.
So that's the point that I was trying to make,
yeah,
which
I
is,
love that.
You know, certainly you can get funky and technical with like pairings. And if you're knowledgeable, like Carly, you're like, yes, like the pizza Pringles go great with this, you know, unique varietal from Santa Ynez Valley. But like we, Pineapple, don't know how to do that. We just like buy wines that sound interesting that we like. And we bring them home, try them with whatever we're cooking that night or like whatever snacks we have in the house and we make it work.
Yeah. And I think like if I could just leave two wine points, number one is just to say exactly what you said. And I want to say it again because it's so important. Number one rule of drinking wine or pairing wines is do you like it? Ask yourself that question and you can stop there. You know, and the other thing is to just, I don't know. Drink things that you don't know.
Pick right, out of your things, comfort zone.
Pick the things that you've never heard of. You know, yeah. I mean, if you look at the list at Himitsu right now, half of the words, like, I mean, I'm like, I don't even, it's crazy. There's nothing on there that makes sense, and yet it all makes sense. And mm-hmm. I think that we overthink so many things.
Yeah.
So do you like
wine
it?
Wine doesn't have to be one of them.
I love that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, we need to wrap up. And before we do, this is a tradition that we have with all of our guests. We'd love to ask you some spitfire questions
to get to know you
a little bit better.
Okay.
But this is the best way to do it when it's just like first thing that comes to mind. So we will start asking the questions. If you could keep them to about one sentence, that
Great.
Would be awesome.
Ready.
And here we go. The first question is a woman you pine for in food.
Oh, Baya.
Awesome. Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. I'm like, hello, where are you?
Come Georgian winemaker.
Georgian winemaker, Baya.
Yeah, come visit DC. We'll show you a good time.
Exactly.
Your favorite women-made food product?
I don't answer the same thing. I'm on like one-tracked mind right
Baya,
now.
Baya.
Baya, 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 Baya.
Cool. It's great wine. Your go-to pantry and fridge items, so two items.
Okay, hot dog buns and hot dogs.
Yes. I love that. My college roommate, her favorite food was hot dogs.
My favorite food is hot dogs.
And yes. It's like a thing.
I don't care
such a cult
where
following.
I get in my life.
They're great.
Awesome. Your all-time favorite wine.
Ooh. Oh, boy. All-time favorite. Okay, I'm just going to spitfire Love You Bunches, Carbonic Maceration, Sangiovese, because you can chill it like white wine, and you can literally drink it from the bottle. There's like maybe 3 pictures of me drinking it on Instagram because I love it so much.
I have it at my house right now, and I ordered this like selection of wines from Domaine LA, and it's the one that I've been waiting to try.
Oh my God, it is purple and blue and violet and blueberry. Ooh. And delicious.
Can't wait.
I like the color usage again. And yes. Speaking of Instagram, where can our audience find you?
It is at Kiss and Drink, so KissAndDrink.
Or awesome. At Himitsu.
Himitsu DC, at HIMITSU DC.
Yeah, if you live locally or you're hitting up DC on one of your summer travels, definitely visit Himitsu. It's worth the wait. You can go next door to Petworth Library.
Petworth Citizen.
There's also the reading room in the back.
That's what I was thinking of.
Hank's Cocktail Bar.
Yeah.
Plenty of places to wait. But helpful hint. Ooh. Which I know people really want all the time, is Wednesday's the day to come. Like, if you can come any day, it's Wednesday. And also, we are, like, if we open at 5, if you can make it at 5, that's also when you want to come. And the other thing is that if you can come right before we close, there's almost always seats. So we take our very last seats at 10 p.m. on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And 11 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. And you can literally show up at like 9:59 on a Tuesday, sit down and order your meal. We go until you're full, you know?
Beautiful. And you will not be disappointed.
Beautiful. Well, speaking of going places in real life, come meet up with Pineapple. We have a number of awesome events coming up here in D.C., New York, and San Francisco. Which you can find at pineapplecollaborative.com. Specifically in DC, we just announced this morning that we're hosting Julia Sherman of Salad for President on June 25th. It's a Monday evening. We're going to be learning how to compose an artful salad with the queen of artful salads herself.
Ooh.
It's going to be great. And we also have Laissez-Faire coming up on Saturday, June 30th. Which is DC's first natural wine fair. There's going to be incredible local producers from Maryland and Virginia there, as well as distributors who are bringing all the natural wines from across the country and across the world into DC. And it's going to be so much fun. We're going to learn, we're going to drink, and it'll be grand. So come join us. And
for our listeners outside of DC, we have an event coming up in New York called Girls Just Want to Have Funds. It's all about funding your small business. And in San Francisco, we have an event about eat your values. So eating in the face of climate change and what we can all do to create a better food world.
Yeah. And as always, send us feedback. We're at Pineapple Collaborative on Instagram. We're hot on the DM. So hit us up there. Send us emails and write reviews about our show on iTunes. We're excited to hear from you. Always try to write you back, maybe not in a day, but at least a week. And thank you so much for being part of what we do.
We'll see you next time.